If making it easy to be an illegal alien isn't enough, how about offering a reward for being an illegal immigrant? No sane country would do that.
No sane country would give immigrant workers advantages over resident citizen workers either, would they? But believe it or not, that is part of what is in Nancy Pelosi's answer to the bill that had been approved by the Senate. We'll dig into that a little bit later on. But first, hello there. Good to have you along today. Welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this daily dose of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. And we're seeing a lot of absurdity today. We really, really are. And we're going to rip into it here pretty soon and hopefully have some fun along the way. It is the 24th day of March 2020, and I hope you are having a good day today. I hope all is well with you and yours, and that you're enjoying sheltering in place. How's that TP supply holding out? It is a day in which we will look over what is in Nancy Pelosi's bill, what she is offering to America, and the Democrats, what they're offering to America as their solution for what is happening with the coronavirus. Now, here we are, bless our hearts, here we are with the nation hunkered down, with Americans everywhere frightened about what is happening, with people sheltering in place, maintaining 6-foot separation. I've been watching YouTube videos for the last few days, and during the last week, I've seen several come up from people who put out consistent YouTube product. They put out content almost on a daily basis, and some from who don't so much anymore, addressing what's happening as far as COVID-19, the coronavirus, the Chinese virus, if we're going to be more precise, what's happening in their world as a result of it. And by and large, people are scared. People are talking about how weird things are right now. I watched, Casey Neistat, that guy who got famous for, he's put out some viral videos, and he also decided a few years back to start producing a short film every day on YouTube. And as a result, everybody got to know who this guy was and learn about his family and his business, his work and the like. And the end result was that CNN bought his business for $25 million. And now he's living comfortably on the West Coast with his family. And he put out a thing the other day about how frightening this all is. He also included a little interview with his best buddy, Dan Mace, who's an Australian, who got the virus. And they talked about how terrible it was and how scary it was. And he talked about how frightening it all is, and showed how they have hand sanitizer set up outside the front door of their home so that before anyone comes in, they have to sanitize. Anybody goes out, let's just put it that way. If anybody goes out, when they come back in, they have to sanitize their hands. Then they go inside, they have to wash up and the like. And he talked about the fear aspect. He showed how empty the streets and the beaches and all that stuff were. He said he goes out every day, and he runs and he surfs, and that's just part of his health routine. And he showed how empty everything is, places that are normally crowded. Also, there's a tech reviewer, and I can't remember Justine's last name, but she goes by iJustine, and people are yelling at their iPods right now, at their mobile devices. I know, I don't remember. She and her sister do videos, and at any rate, she does a lot of tech review stuff, and she's been doing it for a long time, a decade at least, and as a result, she's doing very well. She is one of the success stories of YouTube. She's doing very, very well. She lives in a nice, trendy, perfect house, and she's got all of the latest gadgets. And for her birthday, Nintendo sent her a birthday cake. This is how much influence this girl has, okay? And she did her little virus update. It was her birthday on the 22nd, and or is it the 20th. It was her birthday on the 20th, and she did a video about her birthday and how it was just her and her sister. She and her sister celebrated her birthday along with dozens upon dozens of little figurines that she's collected over the years. They lined them all up on a table around the cake. It was pretty weird. But she also talked about the oddness and how scary it was and how now it was very strange to feel like walking out the front door was wrong. This is the atmosphere that's been created by people whipping up the frenzy of fear. Now people are afraid to go outside and they think, well, that's just wrong. It's wrong to go outside. And our government has done this to us. They have now convinced us that it's wrong. For the sake and the good of everyone, it's wrong for us to leave our homes. And this is something that you have to keep in mind. Excuse me. I talk with my hands. I just hit the mic. This is something you have to keep in mind. The reason everyone is afraid right now is because, one, the progressive press has sensationalized something that will not kill as many people as the seasonal flu does. Please remember this. This is not minimizing the loss. This is not minimizing the deaths of those who have been affected and will be affected to the point of being killed by this virus. It's not minimizing that. It's just perspective. This is the Daily Perspective podcast. I'm giving you some perspective. The number of people who will be harmed, fatally harmed by this virus, pales in comparison to the number of people who will die from the simple seasonal flu outbreak we have every year. I gave you the stats the other day. I ran down the numbers the other day. The number of people who will die from end-stage cancer today. I think it's over 1,600 people, 1,700 people. A similar number of people. Heart disease will claim today, 1,600, 1,700 people. Today, in one day, in 24 hours. Now go look up the number of people who have been affected by the coronavirus. Today, if we look at the United States of America, let me go find that chart. Give me just a sec here. The total deaths, let's see, 39 new deaths in the past 24 hours. 39. I think that's correct. Let me refresh that page. Yesterday, there were 39. Okay, 29. It's down 10 in the past 24 hours. 29 people in America. In the same span of time, 1,700 people, roughly 1,700 people have died of cancer or heart disease. Both, actually, in the same span of time. And this is what has been whipped up into a case of fear around the world. And people are afraid because the press has gone haywire with this, has gone nuts with this, because it is something extremely sensational. It's something that they can go crazy with. And politicians have jumped on the bandwagon and they've taken advantage of the fear. And they, because, as I've explained to you many, many times, because politicians thrive on being your hero and fighting for the little guy, being there for you, this is what politicians thrive on. They have jumped on this bandwagon and they have gone crazy. And on the local level, the state level, the national level, they've been enacting things which are keeping people in their homes. Just yesterday, in our lives, my wife and I, in our lives, we each received notices from different places telling us they needed to reschedule appointments we have because of COVID-19, the coronavirus, the Chinese Wuhan flu. This is what's going on. These on the state level, on the local level. I've been told by people in business, friends in business, that, oh yeah, the city came around the other day and came around today and shut us down. Where my wife works, they have a sales department and they have a service department. It's an auto dealership. She works in the service department. No, she doesn't work on cars, but she takes your money when you get your car worked on or you buy parts for your car. She is the lady behind the glass who takes your cash. And she has been very cautious in dealing with people. She sits, she has a glass partition with a little slit in it and a notch at the bottom so that you can hear each other when you're talking and you can pass money back and forth and invoices and the like through the slot. And she's been very careful. They've all been very cautious. And they were told yesterday that the sales department would be closed, but the service department is deemed a necessary thing. And so it's been given a pass. People have to keep their cars going. People have to keep their transportation alive. People have to have, even if they're not having their cars worked on there, they have to have the parts to work on their cars in order to be able to do things, in order to be able to go places, which is getting less and less available. But they were told this morning that there would be two people who work in the position that she is in, and she is the senior person there in that position, but they would be herself and one other person who would be rotating back and forth. And so now her paydays, her paychecks will be cut in half. So this is all being affected by what? All of this is happening because the press has gone crazy, gone sensational on something. Well, let's back up. First, China was not forthcoming with something. Reports started coming out of China about things happening. China didn't let us know the details. They didn't let our people come in. They didn't let the information out we needed to have. The press went crazy, and governments said, you know, we should never let a good crisis go to waste. And bang, they stepped up. And as a result, businesses are shutting down. Industries are coming to a screeching halt. The economy is suffering. We are going through a period of time. It's going to take a period of time to recover from. And I believe the president's right, though. When we start recovering, we're going to bounce back and bounce back hard. Because this is the United States of America. It's going to be uncomfortable for a little while, but when we recover, we're going to recover in a big way. Because that's how we do things here, when we're not throttled by government. And he's doing what he can to get government out of the way. Now, having said that, our government put together a relief bill because so many businesses are suffering. And as a result of business suffering, people who are paid by those businesses are suffering. And so a relief bill was put together, and it looked like it was in the final stages of being pushed forward for the president's signature. There were just a few hours more of meetings that had to take place to work out some rough details. And then the House of Representatives, led by Nancy Pelosi, came back from a vacation. Yes, in the midst of all of this that they talked about being so horrible, they took a vacation. They took a week off. When the people of this country, who they have convinced need them, the people of this country were depending on them for answers, they took a vacation. Well, the Senate didn't, and the Senate worked out a bipartisan bill. A bipartisan bill which helped businesses, which in turn helps the people who work for those businesses, which in turn helps the communities all of those people live in. It helped businesses, among other things. But then Nancy Pelosi, the evil woman herself, came back from vacation with the rest of the people from the House of Representatives and said, well, we can't have this. And they somehow pulled out of one of their bodily orifices a bill, which is surprising to many of us, they could possibly craft while they were gone on vacation. And in that bill is a Christmas list of progressive gifts. And we're going to look at that coming up after the break. It doesn't take the situation seriously. It is a list of items which have nothing to do whatsoever with helping a nation which is cowering in fear and needs a little kick of help to recover in the weeks and months to come. Nothing whatsoever. It's all about doing favors for those who keep the Democrats in office. And we'll take a look at a bit of that coming up after the break when the Daily Perspective continues.
God bless America.
Welcome back to the Daily Perspective podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host. It's an hour of observation, a little insight, a bit of absurdity. And I got to be honest with you. Today we're looking at the Democrat bill, and it is just a pile of bull absurdity. That's exactly what it is, kids. It's just crazy. Well, let's start off by heading over to USA Today. Typically not a place that conservatives trust for anything accurate, but there's an opinion piece by James S. Robbins in the USA Today I'd like to share a portion with you, and then we're going to move over to something Tucker Carlson had to say. Mr. Robbins says, "You never let a serious crisis go to waste, as Rahm's rule says. Never was there a more concise summary of both the promise and dysfunction of American politics. Every time the country faces a crisis, real or perceived, there is a rush in Congress to pass massive bills that go far beyond responding to the matter at hand. These phone book-sized emergency acts are too long and detailed for any legislator to read and fully comprehend, but you can bet they're stuffed with gimmicks, giveaways, sweetheart deals, and ill-advised policies with no bearing on the crisis itself. The latest example is the newly introduced House version of the Take Responsibility for Workers and Families Act, intended to afford stimulus and stability in the face of the economic crisis fomented by COVID-19. The bill may provide some form of succor to the economy, but in the words of Majority Whip James Clyburn, the Democrat of South Carolina, the crisis is also, quote, a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision, end quote. In other words, coronavirus gives good cover to impose progressive requirements on stricken businesses and a society eager to see government simply act, and fast. The 1,119-page bill is Christmas in March for liberal special interests. It imposes racial and gender pay equity provisions, diversity on corporate boards, increased use of minority-owned banks by federal offices, and a grab bag of other diversity-themed requirements. It increases the collective bargaining power for unions and cancels all the debt owed by the failing U.S. Postal Service to the U.S. Treasury. For the global warming crowd, there are increased fuel emission standards and required carbon offsets for airlines, plus tax credits for alternative energy programs. For the kids, there's a provision for student loan payment deferment, and for the education bureaucrats who overcharge them, a $9.5 billion giveaway to colleges and universities. It gives $100 million to juvenile justice programs and suspends various aspects of enforced immigration laws. Perhaps the most troubling sections of the bill are under the rubric American Coronavirus COVID-19 Election Safety and Security, or ACCESS Act. This section would impose requirements on states for early voting, voting by mail, required mailing of absentee ballots to everyone, ballot harvesting, that is having third parties deliver absentee ballots. This has been proven to be fraught with all kinds of fraud potential. Online voter registration, same-day registration, and other practices which undermine confidence in the integrity of the ballot. In these days of increasing threats to election security, we should be moving rapidly back to in-person paper ballots. But this bill would be a radical step in the wrong direction. It is hard quickly to root out whatever other aspects of this bill bear no relationship to COVID-19, but to its backers, that's the point. We can't really know what's in it until they pass it, to paraphrase Speaker Pelosi on another such memorable occasion. The politics of the Democratic proposal are not hard to figure. Democrats are concerned that the coronavirus crisis could be a 9/11 moment for President Trump, that people might put aside partisanship for a moment to rally around a leader trying his best to help the country cope. That's not all of the article. There's more to it. It'll be in show notes today. But that gets to the point. The Democrats are afraid that this is President Trump's 9/11 moment, that he will rally the troops, that confidence will be restored in him, and that he could actually get a boost from this. And that is what's happening. Now, for another angle on this, let's turn to Tucker Carlson from last night on Fox News.
Details of the Democratic plan became public today. Huge parts of the proposal have nothing to do with fighting the pandemic we're suffering through. Read it, and you will find disgusting little interest group handouts added by lobbyists. Worse, the bill is suffused with the cruel bigotry of identity politics. At a time when America so badly, desperately needs to come together, Democrats remain intent on splitting this country into warring tribes. It's shocking. When asked about her bill today, Nancy Pelosi blamed the Pope.
Last Thursday, Pope Francis offered the world this prayer: enlighten those responsible for the common good so that they might know how to care for those entrusted to their responsibility. Today, House Democrats are unveiling the Take Responsibility for Workers and Families Act, a bill that takes responsibility for the health, wages, and well-being of America's workers. The Senate Republican bill put corporations first, but because of the insistence of Leader Chuck Schumer and Senate Democrats, progress has been made.
Even by Washington standards, shamelessness like that really has no precedent. Quoting the Pope, St. Nancy's coronavirus bill currently is more than 1,400 pages. It's not that long because it's a finely tuned fix to help the country through this disaster. No, it's that long because House Democrats have crammed it with totally unrelated political priorities. Identity politics, stoking racial division as usual, global warming, open borders. You should read it. Here's just some of what you'll find if you do. The bill would require every corporation that receives coronavirus aid to have officers and a budget dedicated to diversity and inclusion initiatives for a minimum of 5 years after they get the money, because that is going to keep America healthy and prosperous, just like it has. More bean counters making sure you're the right color before they give you a job. Okay. Companies would also have to produce elaborate racial reports for the government listing the skin color and the sex of their officers and boards of directors. They have to prove they give enough money to firms owned by women and non-whites, and of course, how much they spend on diversity initiatives. In all, this bill uses the words diverse or diversity more than 60 times. What does it have to do with a pandemic that might kill you? Not one thing. It's just more ugly race politics, the kind they specialize in. Democrats think that's much more important right now. And then it gets worse than that. The bill allocates $300 million for hiring experts to manage coronavirus preparation and response. Those are critical jobs. But instead of looking for the most qualified people in a time of national emergency, and that's the only criterion that should matter in the least right now, period, are you qualified? Instead of that, the bill orders that employees be chosen on the basis of their race and disability status. This is insanity. It's dangerous insanity. Who cares what color your scientists are? But it goes on. The bill would mandate that all 50 states have an early voter period as well as same-day voter registration. Why? Because Democrats believe those changes would give them an electoral advantage. The bill would expand collective bargaining rights for federal employees. That's likely the group least threatened by the effect of coronavirus. But, and this is the real point, though, they're the most faithful Democratic voting bloc, so they're in the bill. On matters of policy, the bill doesn't even try. Should the airlines get a federal bailout? That's an actual question. You could take either side. Democrats don't really dwell on it in this bill. It's too serious for them. Instead, the law would require that any airline that takes federal money offset their carbon emissions within 5 years, because climate activism is way more important than the disease that could kill your family next week. And then there's this. The House version of the bill includes special provisions, for real, to protect foreign nationals working here in the U.S. So we're staring down the barrel of the most profound employment crisis of our lifetimes. That's not an exaggeration. And what are Democrats doing? They're trying to automatically renew visas and work permits for all immigrants here in the U.S. because their jobs are very important, way more important than yours. Democrats want to make certain the people who are replacing you are secure and happy. The whole thing defies belief, and that's not a partisan observation. Again, read it.
Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be hard for you to read the bill. It's one report says over 1,100. He just said something like 1,400 pages. The article I was pulling from before refers to it as a phone book sized bill. There are, however, those who have pored through the bill and found things. And coming up after the break, I have a resource that I want to pass along to you that discusses some of the stuff that's in it, in money amounts. And it's interesting. It's very interesting. And we'll split that open. And we will dish it out to you. We, me, myself, I, and the dog. Coming up after this break. You need to understand what the Democrats are proposing here. Now, I got to be honest with you. It looks to me like they have just copied and pasted something that they have already had put together and done a little bit of work to make it seem like they just did this.
They looked at me as if I had lobsters crawling out of my ears.
Welcome to my everyday life. It is the Daily Perspective Podcast, Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. Good to have you along. Thanks for being there. Hey, I forget to tell you this on a very regular basis, but the show is actually on social media. And you can find us on, you can find the show on Facebook and on Twitter. Just look for Daily Perspective on both places. And, of course, you can find us online. There's a website, us. You can find the podcast online, dailyperspectivepodcast.com. So go look for that today. Why don't you? And, hey, I don't think I should postpone this any longer, considering that we're dealing with Nancy Pelosi's work here. I think Nancy Pelosi deserves her own segment opener.
I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry.
Oh, yeah. That evil woman. Who actually referred to the Pope in introducing this latest abomination of hers and the Democrat parties. Wow, wow, wow. All right, let's get right down to it. It is called, where is it? I just had it. It's the Take Responsibility for Workers and Families Act. And fortunately, over on Twitter, someone has taken it upon themselves to tear this thing open and to spill out some of the monetary contents. So let's take a look at what's happening here. This, by the way, is also in show notes today. The link to all of this is in show notes. If you want the show notes, you can go over to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and this will be available to you. If you're listening to the podcast, it's there now. If you are listening live on Facebook, well, bless your heart, it'll be up about a half an hour after I get through with the live show. Okay? All right. So let's take a look here. Here's what is in Nancy Pelosi's financial rescue bill, the Take Responsibility for Workers and Families Act. $45 million for agricultural marketing services, $33 million for child nutrition programs, $15 million for minority business development. $32 million to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to fight climate change. $100 million for programs to prevent violence against women. $25 million for women's shelters. This is in a bill that is supposed to be an answer to the coronavirus, the COVID-19 crisis, he said, air quoting the word crisis, that's hitting America right now. $100 million for assisting victims of sexual assault. $25 million for rural domestic violence programs. $100 million for research grants in the National Science Foundation. $100 million for the Legal Services Corporation. $200 million for the Community Development Financial Institutions Fund program account. Homeland Security must suspend compliance with immigration laws if it creates hardships for the person in question. That is actually in their coronavirus bill. The Administrative Procedure Act is suspended. Immigrant work visas are automatically extended by 1 year. There's $7 million for wildland fire management in a health care related bill. $7 million for wildland fire management. In a bill designed to address COVID-19, the coronavirus, and its impact on America, $78,000 will go to the Institute of American Indian and Alaskan Native Culture. In a bill intended to offer relief for those impacted by COVID-19, $300 million for grants at the National Foundation on the Arts and the Humanities. $120 million for community service employment for older Americans. Okay, let's see here. He says, I'm going to scroll down and see when I find money actually going to the private sector and not the government, because everything else is government related. The first 700 pages of the 1,400-page bill is money to government bodies. The first half of the bill. The first mention of the private sector, page 710. On page 710, the bill creates the COVID-19 Aid Oversight Panel for the private sector. The panel will hold hearings. The oversight panel is granted unfettered access to the information held by any U.S. government agency. Any U.S. government agency. If that doesn't scare you, you don't understand what that means. And then there's billions going to Africa. Now, the conditions for getting aid. There can be no bonuses to executives. Golden parachutes are abolished. Now, this is in private business, okay? They're telling you you can no longer have a golden parachute in the private business. And I understand that people are upset by that, but those are people who don't understand how business works. No stock buybacks. Dividends to investors are abolished. Federal lobbying is abolished. Accelerated filing is available on the following permanent conditions. This is permanent conditions. 1/3 of the board of directors must be chosen by the workers. That's a communist directive. Environmental and social reports must be submitted each quarter. So in order to get this aid for the rest of all time, one of the things you have to do, or actually two of the things you have to do, is you have to submit reports on your environmental work and your social justice awokeness, basically. That's in this bill. Reports on workplace racial and gender demographics must be filed each quarter. This is in order for you to get relief for your company that's suffering because of what the government has done to it by shutting everything down. Okay? You must issue reports on workforce culture and empowerment programs. Each quarter, these reports have to be filed each quarter. Reports on fostering a sense of purpose in the workforce must be filed each quarter. Fostering a sense of purpose. Permanent requirements for all corporations receiving aid. You must pay a minimum wage of $15 an hour. The CEO cannot be paid more than a ratio of 50 to 1 in relationship to the median worker age. Workforce and benefits must be immediately returned to what they were before COVID-19. The company may not alter any collective bargaining agreements made before COVID-19. Wow. So, if your corporation is going to receive aid to help it come back from what the government has done to it, what the government and the irresponsible progressive news media have done to it, then you have to pay your people a minimum of $15 an hour. The CEO cannot be paid what he is worth. The workforce and benefits have to go back to exactly what they were before COVID-19, regardless of the financial impact this whole thing may have had on your company and the fact that the money may not be there even with the federal aid. You have to promise to do this. And if you don't, trust me, when you sign off on something like this and you sign off on the hundreds of pages of paperwork which ties your hands and assures that you're going to comply with everything the government says you have to do, and you don't comply with one piece of it, they will sue your hiney off and shut you down or take you over. Workforce and benefits must immediately return to what they were before COVID-19. The company may not alter any collective bargaining agreements made before COVID-19. So in other words, the union will be in control. President Trump referred to this in the past tense in his press conference. It's DOA. It won't pass. And you know what's sad? Is they knew this when they submitted it. They knew it. They want to be able to say, see, we're here for you, the little guy, the worker. Workers of the world, unite. We're here for you. But Orange Man, bad. He and his people, bad. They hate you. They want to benefit corporations. They want a slush fund. You know, that term's being tossed around an awful lot, slush fund. It's being bandied about by the leftist press. It's being, oh Lord, it's being said a lot. But it's not true. When you actually do your diligence on the way things have run in the Senate version of this, there are conditions on everything, but not like these conditions. It's temporary. It can't be used for certain things that people would object to, some of the objections listed in this list. A lot of this stuff is already covered. It's already there. But Pelosi doesn't care. Yes, she is. She's a witchy one.
And then the next step, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Bless her heart. Please get the show notes today. Dig into this and learn more about it. We'll have more after the break when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here. Oh, diving into the final segment for today. And I hope you have a good day. If you're listening later in the day, I hope it's been good for you so far. And I really do appreciate the fact that you're there. Thanks for listening. Hey, can I go back to something before we move forward? This is the final segment, the last 10 minutes or so. But before we move along any further, I want to see if I can play you this one segment. I played you the Tucker Carlson piece earlier, where there's something in it that made me laugh out loud in the midst of all this stuff. And you know, absurdity is one of the things that I kind of focus on. It's, ooh, shiny. That's absurdity for me. So, and this is part, let me see. Yeah, that's where it is. It's queued up there, I think. Let me see if this is going to work. Nancy Pelosi was talking in that Tucker Carlson piece. He played a clip from her. And in that clip was, listen, just listen real closely and I'll stop when we get there. Listen to this.
Last Thursday, Pope Francis offered the world this prayer. Enlighten those responsible for the common good.
Wait a minute. Did somebody knock something over? Did somebody drop something? What happened there? What was that?
Last Thursday, Pope Francis offered the world this prayer. Enlighten those responsible for the common good.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what gets me? It was a recording. It was a recording. They could have stopped and gone back and fixed that. But no, they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Also, along the same lines, creepy Uncle Joe doing he's doing his coronavirus shadow briefings. Okay. He's trying to look presidential. And so he's going online and doing his own coronavirus briefings. And it's a campaign gimmick. Don't get it wrong. Okay. It's a campaign gimmick. And so he does this yesterday. And in the process, he gets a governor's name wrong. His teleprompter goes tango uniform. And he doesn't know what he's doing. He's having to ask for help. And people are saying, what's up with the lighting? It's horrible. It just looks terrible. And they say, well, you know, he's got 8-foot ceilings in the house. We can't really get real lighting in there and do this. I'm not any longer a broadcast professional. I'll just say it that way. But here's the thing. I have done some video in my life. I have shot video for corporate purposes, and I work in a studio about once a week that has some video lighting in it. And I know even with an 8-foot ceiling, you can pull off video lighting that looks pretty dang good. You really can. And it doesn't cost a lot of money. It really doesn't. You can on the cheap, seriously, on the cheap, you can light an individual, a single person, and set things up properly, setting up the camera and the lighting, doing the technical things you have to do. For under $1,000, you can actually pull something off. And then you add the teleprompter on top of that. Yeah, that's a lot of money. But even with an iPad teleprompter, it can be a lot of money. But this is the kind of thing, if you're serious about this stuff, you don't do this publicly without running through everything privately to make sure everything works before you throw the switch and say, yeah, we're going live. And they still did it. So bless their hearts. Just bless their hearts. Okay, back to what we were talking about. Please get the show notes today. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and grab today's show notes. The links to these articles, everything I'm referring to, it's all in the show notes. And I'm looking at my stuff that I won't have time to get to today. And there are a couple of things I think I'm going to throw in. Well, at least one thing for sure. And it has to do with the WHO. And you need to know. You really do need to know this. And I'm going to throw it in the show notes today, but odds are I'll get into it on the podcast tomorrow. So you'll have it in advance if you get today's show notes, okay? All righty. Now, the real reasons Democrats stopped the coronavirus stimulus bill. Coming from PJ Media by Tyler O'Neill on Sunday, Senate Democrats blocked the massive $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus bill intended to inject new life into an economy struggling to survive under the weight of social distancing necessary to combat the global pandemic. Democrats claim they opposed the bill because it would give Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin the ability to direct billions in a secret slush fund, which he would ostensibly use to benefit political allies and President Donald Trump's companies. But Democrats had other reasons to delay the bill as well. Congress has already passed, and the president has already signed, two emergency coronavirus measures earlier this month. The current stimulus bill has been worked out in meetings involving Mnuchin, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Yet after these negotiations, which involved a great deal of compromise on both sides, Democrats blocked the bill Sunday night. Democrats condemned what they call a secret slush fund for corporate America, Politico reports. The stimulus bill includes $500 billion in exchange, a $500 billion exchange stabilization fund under Mnuchin's control designed to help industries struggling from the fallout of the coronavirus. It includes $58 billion for U.S. airlines and air cargo companies. Senator Mazie Hirono, or we should call Hazy Hirono, from Hawaii, rhetorically asked, "We're going to give $500 billion in basically a slush fund to help industries controlled by Mnuchin with very little transparency? Is that what we ought to be doing?" Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, sent up smoke signals, which read, "We're not here to create a slush fund for Donald Trump and his family or a slush fund for the Treasury Department to be able to hand out to their friends. We're here to help workers. We're here to help hospitals. And right now, what the Republicans propose does neither of those." By the way, this is a bald-faced lie. So is Hazy Hirono's. It's a bald-faced lie. Schumer claimed Democrats opposed the bill because, quote, "it includes huge bailouts without protections for people and workers and without accountability and because it shortchanges our hospitals and healthcare workers who need our help." This is also a lie. I've read you the conditions of their bill, right? Did you really see healthcare workers and hospital help in there anywhere to speak of? No. It was all very socialist, very communist. But Democrats had already secured key concessions from Republicans. This is what they're not telling you. In the process of drafting the bill, they secured key concessions. Democrats secured $250 billion in additional unemployment insurance payments, along with $75 billion in new funding for hospitals. They also demanded hundreds of billions of dollars for a state stabilization fund to help state and local governments, and Republicans supported a limited bailout for these governments. Democrats claimed the $500 billion to distressed industries would have less oversight than the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, the 2008 financial services industry bailout. Yet, Senate Republicans and the White House claimed the Coronavirus Fund program had actually built on the lessons learned from TARP. Quote, "The proposal provides desperately needed resources for affected industries and sectors in order to keep people employed and at work." So says Eric Euland, the White House Director of Legislative Affairs and a former top Senate aide who is closely involved in the negotiations. He said this to Politico. He goes on to say, "This carefully drawn language contains significant pro-taxpayer and pro-consumer protections in a way unprecedented since the invention of these vehicles nearly 12 years ago." So what's really going on? Why did Democrats vote to block the bill, leading to a 47-47 split in the Senate? A Democratic aide dropped an essential clue when discussing the bill with The Hill. The aide complained that the stimulus bill's small business provision would exclude nonprofits that receive Medicaid from being eligible for Small Business Administration assistance. The aide complained that this provision would impact Planned Parenthood, community health centers, rape crisis centers, and disability service providers. As pointed out by Rick Moran over at PJ Media, Planned Parenthood is not a small business, and neither are nonprofits. Monday, a senior Republican aide told Town Hall's Guy Benson that Schumer and Pelosi are pushing unprecedented collective bargaining powers for unions, increased fuel emission standards for airlines, and expansion of wind and solar tax credits. These provisions would arguably make the situation even worse for businesses. It's a wish list, a liberal wish list. It's insanity. And we've spelled it out for you today. And to be honest with you, we've barely scratched the surface of the insanity. But this is what the Democrats are up to. They're holding America hostage, trying to get their wish list passed without regard for what's really going on in America. Lots to think about today. Let's get back together tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective. We'll see you then. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.